Now, good evening. It's a joy to be with you again, just to give a little help from the good word of God. If you have your Bible, please, could you turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah, and in chapter 55. The prophecy of Isaiah, please, and in chapter 55. We'll read together from verse number 1, these well-known verses in the Gospel. Verse number 1 of Isaiah, please, chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Into the Acts of the Apostles, please, just for a verse, well known in the Gospel too. Acts chapter 2, please. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his blood were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of such holy scripture this evening. Now just simply, this evening we want to look at the free gospel that costs God everything. So it's not a cheap message we bring, it's an invaluable message. And it's not just a message for time, it's a message for the great eternity. My dear friend, whither bound, where are you really heading for in the light of the great eternity? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the other side? My dear friend, we're creatures of time, but we can be brought into the great eternity in fellowship with God. I tell you, he's interested in your never-dying soul tonight. We have a lovely text in the Bible that says this, John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, my dear friend, that's you in your great need tonight. Whosoever, doesn't matter the colour of your skin, doesn't matter your bank balance, doesn't matter the street you stay in, doesn't matter your education, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be lost, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, we want to consider that everlasting life tonight, and we want to consider it from this old prophecy of Isaiah. I just thought very simply in verse number 1, we're going to see that the gospel is universal and priceless. Oh yes, my dear friend, ho everyone, that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, yet he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. My dear friend, listen, the gospel is universal and it's priceless. You might be a billionaire tonight, I'd love to meet you, but my dear friend, with all your billions, you cannot have the gospel. Or you might be a pauper tonight and not have a penny in your pocket. I want to tell you, my friend, that that message tonight is really for you. And then I thought in verse number 2, we're going to see that the gospel is satisfying and wholesome. Did you notice that, my dear friend? We tried to emphasize it in our reading. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that that satisfieth not? You see, my friend, men will spend pound after pound after pound, and they find no satisfaction. There's nothing wholesome in the world. There's nothing that can satisfy that missing part of the jigsaw in your life. That God consciousness, that part of you that needs God more than you need anything. And so we're going to see the gospel is really satisfying and wholesome. And then from verse 3 down to verse number 6, we're going to see here that the gospel is still available and it's eternal. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He might never be nearer than tonight for you. I don't know you all. I don't know if everyone in the building saved or not. God knows. I don't know. But you know. My dear friend, listen. The gospel is still available. Still available tonight in 2010. It's still available. Not sure about tomorrow night. You have to consider that now. It's still available, and it really is eternal. And then if we reach at verse 7, 8 and 9, we're going to see, listen to this, we're going to see that the gospel is reconciliation for the repentant. Oh, my dear friend, have you ever repented about your sin? Have you ever considered God, the holy God of heaven? Says Isaiah in chapter 57, he's the high and holy God that inhabiteth eternity. My dear friend, holiness is linked with God and eternity. Are you holy tonight? Have you been constituted right? Have you repented of your sin? Have you ever come to know the Savior? Are your sins really forgiven? And had we to look at verse 10 right down to the end, we would discover this. The gospel is refreshing and fruitful and sure. I tell you, it's like the rain coming down from heaven. We should know something about that. My dear friend, how refreshing. Oh, we don't like it betimes. But listen, we need it desperately. We really do. And because of that, the gospel is refreshing and fruitful and sure. And we want you to consider that this evening. Just for a short time, I'll not keep you too long now. We'll bring to you this great message. Look what this old prophet is saying. It's a really an Old Testament prophecy, but there's something about the New Testament in it. There's an equation with John's Gospel, really. There are many verses that you could compare all the way through it. It's such a lovely prophecy. So we're going to see that the Gospel is universal and it's priceless. Look what he says to the nation here. Oh, they were wilfer than wayward. They wandered away from Jehovah time and time again. Is that not our nation? Is our nation not wandering away from God? Are they not legislating for all the filth and muck of the day? Well, I tell you, they're so corrupt now and so far away from God, they haven't a thought of God in their soul. My dear friend, look what he's saying to them. Ho! What is he saying? Stop! Consider! Where are you going? That's really what that word means, my dear friend. Here's a warning. Pay attention. I wonder if you ever stop and consider eternity.
I wonder if you've ever stopped and thought about the love of God. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Why did he go there? Because God loves you, friend. Oh, I want to tell you, he paid the ultimate price in precious blood. He did. He went voluntarily all the way to Calvary to suffer and to bleed and to die. Do you know anything about the love of God? Is it coursing through your veins? Has there been a time when, has there been a place where, when you realise your guilt as a sinner and accepted the Saviour? A dear lady down in Crowell in Worcestershire, Betty McConnell, a Roman Catholic lady, she married an Orangeman. Don't ask me how that happened, but it did. And my dear friend, the Orangeman got saved, and Betty was never saved. But what she was saved eventually, but for years she wanted what her husband had. And she would never own up to the fact that she needed Christ. She thought her religion was sufficient for her. It might have been sufficient to live with. It would have been no good to die with. And Betty McConnell, I want to tell you, she was brought all the way down from Birmingham, 30 miles away, nearly every night for a full week. And then the Thursday night she waited behind. Betty McConnell, I tell you, she waited behind there. I tell you, she did, my dear friend. Why? Because she didn't have a Saviour. And on the 10th of July, 1996, that dear lady waited behind. And for an hour, her husband sat and told us he had just been restored back to the Lord. He'd been away from the Lord. But he got back again, and now he was desperate for his wife to be saved. And I could see that she was frustrated. I said, just a minute there, Mr. McConnell. Just a minute, Willie. I said, I think your wife wants to say something. He was an Irishman, you see, and he was going on and on, and telling us about his restoration, what was through. But I knew that Betty was anxious. I said, do you want to say something, Betty? Oh, she said, I thought he would never stop. She said, I thought he would never stop, you know. She said, I want Christ, and how do I get him? Have you got him? Oh, my friend, stop where you are. Have you ever considered the Saviour? Have you ever considered heaven in all its splendour? Have you ever considered hell and ultimately the lake of fire without God and no hope? Is that what you are? Have you never considered this one, my friend, listen, that went willingly all the way to Calvary? I said, Betty, what is it you want? She says, it's got to be Christ. I'm happy to tell you that on the 10th of July in 1996, I want to tell you, Betty McConnell trusted the Lord Jesus as her very own and personal Saviour. She had lived about 59 years without Christ. I want to tell you, for 2 years she served Christ. And on the 10th of July, 1998, the Lord called her away home. What if she had waited 2 years and 1 day? What if she had just put off Christ another day? How long have you been putting them off? How long have you felt the burden of your sin? Oh, everyone, my dear friend, listen, there's none excluded tonight. Do you understand that? There's nobody excluded. You're not too bad. And you're certainly not too good. But I tell you what, you could be far too late. God has given you another evening. My friend, God has given you another evening. Oh, everyone, will you stop in your tracks? Will you consider eternity? Well, I happened to be back in Crowell that year, just at the same time again. I had the privilege of it. Sharing that funeral with Roger Herbert. And the hall was packed to capacity with Orangemen from Northern Ireland and Roman Catholics from England. What a mixture! I tell you, They heard the gospel of the grace of God. They did. They really did. And the people from the school, the teachers, the janitors, and some children. She was a janitor at the school, and they loved Betty. And they were broken-hearted when Betty was called away home to heaven. Tell me, is that your hope?
Horses, somebody, a break bread, I'm not interested. Horses, somebody, a say prayers, I'm not interested.
I'm asking, has there been a time when? And has there been a place where? Has there been a time when you stopped in your tracks and realized the error of your way?
Oh, everyone that thirsteth, tell me, what are you thirsting after? You've got a thirsty world tonight. The drinking at the shrine troughs of the world. They can't get enough demon drink. They're on the drugs now. They can't get enough needles.
My dear friend, what are they thirsting after? They've got an aching heart. They've got an empty heart. They've got a heart that needs Jesus Christ more than they need their next drink.
More than they need their next needle or their next pill.
My friend, have you got Christ? Have you really started for heaven? Are your sins really gone? Are you really ready to meet God? Says John, says the Lord Jesus through John chapter 7 and verse 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Oh, the refreshment. My dear friend, the refreshment is to be found in Christ. Look at this. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk. Without money and without price. My dear friend, come. Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Hear in his word. He has shown us the way. See, the children can come. Oh, the old folk can come. And the middle aged can come. Ye, everyone can come. Nobody excluded. How simple. How simple, my friend. Come, buy wine and milk. Oh, I want to tell you, real joy is to be found in the Saviour. Milk?
I want to tell you, my friend, the sincere milk of the Word of God can sustain you, can fortify you, can give you life eternal, can give you, my dear friend, listen, that satisfaction that you're looking for. Have you found it? Have you found the Savior precious? Is he yours tonight? Well, listen, the gospel is universal and it's priceless. It costs God everything. It costs him his son because he loves you so much and he wants to embrace you. What about verse 2 quickly? Look at verse 2 quickly. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labour for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, verse 1. Hearken, verse 2. Do you hearken to the message? Have you responded to this message? Bread, my friend, something wholesome. Without money, without price, we've said. Wherefore do you labour for that? That satisfieth not. Do you know what? There are men who work their fingers to the bone 7 days a week. I tell you, they falsify their timesheets just to amass and to have. There are more twisted and crooked accountants today than ever. Why? Because men want to have more and more, whether they deserve it or not is different. My dear friend, what about you tonight? Will you hearken to this message? Will you realize your need? Will you realize, my dear friend, listen, that that bread and that labor of yours satisfies not? Well, I tell you, there are hard-working people. and there's some religiously working for the church. Working their fingers to the bone. I'll never forget Betty Jones, away down in Trimsatton. Betty worked her fingers for the Baptist chapel in Plenethly. That lady thought she was on her way to heaven. And she wasn't. And after 5 weeks of meetings, I think it was the 5th week of the meetings, she waited behind, sobbing her heart out. We took her through to the back room, and Bertie Evans and myself, we sat with her. She couldn't even speak. She was sobbing her heart out. She said, I want to tell you, 5 weeks ago, I thought I was on my way to heaven. I now discover I'm on my way to hell. I said, why would that be, Betty?
I said, why would that be, Betty? She says, because I thought doing was what I had to do.
My dear friend, listen. If anybody qualifies for salvation, it was Betty Jones. I tell you, she was absolutely what night and day for the church where she worshipped. But she never had Christ. I'm happy to tell you. Oh, I'm happy to tell you about Betty Jones. On the 5th week she waited behind one night. We had the privilege of leading Betty Jones to the Saviour. I tell you, she sobbed her way to Christ that night. Have you ever did that? Are you satisfied with your lot? Are you working your fingers to the bone, my friend, and you have not satisfied tonight? You see, Israel, really, Israel, they spent money. They spent money on idols. And they labored, I tell you, they labored, my friend, their Babylonian center of world trade, I tell you, the Jews first formed their mercantile habits. On earning, on amassing, and having. Is that you? Is that how you've lived? My friend, is that how you've lived, just to have? And you haven't got Christ. Someone prayed tonight, he that hath a son hath life. That's a present possession. Have you got it? Have you got life tonight? My dear friend, hearken. Let's go down the chapter, but I can't touch all these verses. Look at verse 6 and 7 with me, please. The gospel is still available and eternal. Look what he said. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Ah, my friend, listen tonight. Are you going to call upon him? Are you going to call upon this one? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Remember what John 5:24 says? He that heareth my word, believeth in him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not pass into death, but is delivered out of judgment. My friend, you could come out from under judgment, seek your Lord, while he be found. You see, man has a limited opportunity. There's a day coming when he's not going to be found. Oh, there's a day coming when the Saviour's not going to be found. Man has his limited opportunity. What about it? Seek your Lord while he may be found. Oh, I thank God at Betty Jones that she trusted the Saviour in time. I'm very glad about that. I'm really very pleased about that. Betty McConnell, I'm so thrilled that she trusted Christ. When she did, she might have missed them. What about you, friend? Have you got him? Is he used? Have you really got a Saviour? Are you really ready to meet God? Oh, the limited opportunity of man. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The poet has put it like this. Keep your money in your coffers.
cast your deadly doings down.
Do not think that you can purchase Jesus, God's beloved Son. Own thyself a guilty sinner, vile and helpless in God's sight, hasting on to hell's destruction, endless sorrow, rayless night. God's free gift is life eternal. Who the priceless boon can buy, by its side all earthly treasure, mean and worthless, rubbish, lie. Hark, God's message, whosoever will may drink from life's pure stream, take and welcome freely, freely, nor thyself too guilty deem. You're not too bad to get to Christ, and you're not too good, but don't ever be too late. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look at verse 7. Just give me a couple of minutes. Look at verse 7. Look at the wicked in their way. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Would that be you tonight? Are you just going your own way? Wasn't it Frank Sinatra that used to sing, "I'll do it my way"? If that's the way he died, I dread to think where he is tonight. Are you just doing your own thing? My dear friend, are you not considering his way?
He could say tonight, "I am the way.
I am the truth.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me." On a righteous basis, you could be forgiven tonight. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Look at this. And let him return unto the Lord. That's repentance.
That's what Peter says. Repent ye therefore and be converted,
that your sins might be blotted out. Dear Emma Critchley, young lady of about 27 in Corby, very high church of England, mother and father, very, very ardent churchgoers. And through the testimony of a dear young man where they lodged, through him just reading his Bible, that lady was so troubled, she used to walk past him and say, "What rubbish." He never flinched.
She would walk by him again, "Why do you read that thing?"
Her conscience was troubled. She was troubled. And he never opened his mouth. Never said a word. And in Rugby and certain in England, he used to continue to read his Bible until she sat beside him. Not only did she get saved, she became his wife. I tell you, they've got a lovely family. They're on their way to heaven. Are you? My dear friend, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let him return unto the Lord. Why? For he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon.
My dear friend, if I could save you, I would, but I can't.
I would save my youngest son, but I can't. My dear friend, only you can trust the Saviour yourself.
He is the one that can salvage you out of the wrecks of humanity. My, here, the Lord and his pardon. Look what it says in my verse.
He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. Have you been pardoned? Are you in fellowship with God? Is there a clean slate between you and God tonight? Sin's gone. and peace with God. I tell you, the world would pay a fortune for that. They find no peace. And there'll be no peace in the world till the Prince of Peace comes. I tell you, there'll be no peace. There'll be anarchy, there'll be turmoil, there'll be strife. We're living in the day of the terrorists. We don't know what's round the corner. But thank God for the Christian. That peace tonight, that peace can advocate in your soul. Why did I read Acts 2? Ah, they that gladly received his word were baptized. You see, those who come to Christ are obedient to the word of God. It's a divine command from the risen head. To be baptized into Jesus Christ, you're nailing your colors to the mast. You're identifying with a living Christ. You're telling that world you're finished with it. I have decided to follow Jesus. See your master. See your Lord tonight. Is he the one you're really serving? Shall we pray? Our gracious Holy Father, we thank thee for this little time together. O God, bless thy word to every soul in this room, should it be those who have no knowledge of salvation. Give the saving grace tonight. Thwart Satan's purposes. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now just one verse before we go, please. 2:31, please. Two 231, the last verse only, just remaining seated. The last verse of 2:31, just remaining seated. Our meeting's over now. If you're not sure about God's salvation, if you've never trusted the Saviour, maybe we've been too complicated, maybe we haven't been simple enough. Well, sit me aside, point you further, make it clearer. Whatever you do, don't leave the building without the Saviour. 2:31, the last verse, sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice, then all heaven will rejoice, be in time. Oh, come from darkness into light. Come, let Jesus make you right. Come and start for heaven tonight. Be in time. Just a minute, seated, please. The last verse, only 231.